This is a presentation of Dawn Forge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 645, Gearing Up with Pride. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Pops to Dorbs, Rides to Mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA.
Coming to you from the exotic land known as Canada, eh? You're listening to another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now we present your awesome hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Maedros, the commander of the fell and master of demons, Fandeth, the still not, and I absolutely mean the word not, a meat shield, my warrior brother, Toasty, and the high priestess of the Everlight, Ellie. She ain't from Canada, but it'll work. It's the internet. Just go with it. They are bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
Thanks, Frisley. I still gotta edit that intro to make it right, you know? Gotta get the still not part. And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have... not Toasty. Toasty is apparently not feeling well today, but still watching a hockey game. I don't know. But we have Allie back, so welcome back, Allie.
Hello! Thank you. I am so sorry I had a miss last week. We had some family over for Memorial Day, but Nick did an absolutely amazing job filling in for me, and I loved listening to that episode, and I was sad that I missed the chance to record with him.
Well, you know, we had somebody originally scheduled, but you were too jealous of not being able to record with him, so we had to find somebody else, and then you got jealous of that
person. Jealous of both. Let's be... I freaked out about both. Come on.
I'm sorry, but... I mean, I don't know that there's anybody that I could have gotten that you wouldn't have been jealous that we were talking to and you weren't.
Probably not. I like to record with people. I have fun. I like podcasting.
See, did you know that? You tell me this. However, you don't record with anybody for your podcast. So it kind of confuses me a little bit.
Well, it's easier to manage a solo podcast and do what I want with it and not worry about socializing with other people.
You know,
with other people and I'm in podcasting mode, it's a different story.
I have a solution for you.
What?
I'll make another podcast on Dawn Forge, and it can be just you talking to a bunch of people. So you can get the whole socializing part of it out too.
When I find more hours in a day, maybe?
just you know, cut back on your hours at work, that's all. You're fine.
I already did that. Now I'm back to my normal hours instead of overtime, which is lovely. any more cutting outside that, and I actually, you know, I do have bills and stuff I have to pay.
Well, fine. Lack of dedication.
It's not like I make a lot of money as a preschool teacher, so if you coming back more, it probably wouldn't be a great idea.
Logic.
Just say lack of dedication.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Work.
Yeah, I am. Well, how's your last couple weeks in WoW been there, Allie?
Pretty great. As you pointed out last week, I was 402 for my item level, and now I'm at 403. Because yesterday I went and ran some Mythic Pluses with my guild.
So who's finally dropping for you?
No. It did not drop for me. It dropped for someone else and they gave it to me.
Oh, pity pieces. I gotcha.
Loot drop for me. Loot doesn't drop for me. What are you talking about? No, but I'm not the biggest fan of healing Mythic Pluses because I just get super stressed. And when people die, I put it on my own shoulders. Even when it's not my fault that they didn't move out of Quake and that kind of thing. But... we did pretty well. We cleared up through a Mythic 10, so I felt pretty good about that. So my chest tomorrow should be pretty good. And I got a nice cloak out of it. You know, pity loot, as you said. And now I'm at 403, which is awesome. Feels good, man. Feels good. And I did some did some islands, like, you know, normal. I did some world quests. My Iron Man tune is now level 17. And yeah, I'm going to be spending some time in Booty Bay this upcoming week. So, you know, some time chilling with pirates and having a good time down there. And yeah. Good stuff. It's nice to actually have time to, you know, play. It's a good concept. And yes, Zephyr, I sure did say booty. Because who doesn't like some booty?
Sorry, I should have laughing / coughing fit. Sorry.
Sorry I made you cough / laugh.
Uh-huh. Thanks, F. Really needed that visual. Thanks. All right. Congratulations on hitting 4-3. Glad you're at least getting pity drops.
Yep. Someday I'll get loot of my own. You know.
If you work hard enough, you'll finally eventually earn it.
It's not that I'm not working hard enough. Then RNGesus just doesn't like me.
Oh. Well, you know, maybe if you see a Metzen around there, maybe he'll talk to RNGesus for you.
Wow. And how was your week this past week? And wow.
What is this while you talk of? did not play much, honestly. Did do a bit of resource farming and gear attempting on my monk, because he's really low, really poorly geared. I did some questing on my second paladin. But otherwise, it was just basically like doing daily stuff, like going in, checking my my mission tables and stuff, going and
right.
Earning AP Azerite power when the stuff was up for the Arathi Highlands Warfront. Otherwise, yeah, didn't do much at all. Pretty low key WoW week in WoW this week. Just haven't really had the energy. Starting a new job. Actually, working a new job is, yeah. Yeah, it can be a bit draining. But, I do want to do more WoW. I do want to get more game time in and do more notable stuff. I just need to have the energy to do it. And as it is, I find I'm struggling getting the show edited most weeks. Like, this week it went on Sunday, which is just crazy. So...
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely when I was doing my overtime, like, I wasn't sleeping in order to get the show out. So I definitely understand, you know, in work, when you're wiped out from work, it's hard to enjoy gaming if you feel brain dead, especially when you still have a show to edit.
Yeah. Earlier, that would be the just getting into do, like, check mission tables and stuff, check mail, make sure nothing's going to be expired and stuff, but that's pretty much all that is. Yeah, just haven't done much at all, so hopefully things will even out a little bit or improve somehow. So
well, hopefully as you kind of adjust to, you know, having a work schedule and getting through training, which is just such an info dump as is.
Yeah.
And you kind of get into the groove of everything, you know, maybe you can get some of that back.
That'd be good. I'll take that time period any time now.
You'll get there. I believe in you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. well, let's talk about our first sponsor, shall we?
Our newest sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you have definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures such from a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who, all sorts of goodness. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is the Night King from Game of Thrones. It is one of their newer releases, and it glows in the dark. And spoiler alert, if for some odd reason you have not watched this season of Game of Thrones, keeping in mind that we are beyond 2 weeks now, so technically we're out of spoiler territory, but I'm putting the warning out there anyways. Go for like a minute if you haven't watched it yet. This Funko has a knife sticking out of his chest. That would be Arya's.
That looks
knife.
Like a dagger to me, yeah. Valyrian steel, yeah, I'm sure, probably.
Yeah. It just, the leap was just so good, and I love that they did a Funko to represent that. And it glows in the dark.
I just want to say, the orientation of the dagger is wrong. It went in vertical.
Yeah, that is a little...
Not horrible, but I mean, I guess they probably had to, so it wouldn't, like, fall out. But yes, Night King with dagger as he's about to explode.
With dagger. I just like that he glows in the dark. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome, yeah. I like the new ones. They've, like, this year for Game of Thrones, they had the throne ones before the season started, but almost each episode they had new ones releasing for stuff that was in the last episode. Yeah. And I really enjoyed that. Like, this is not the first one. They had the original one that released, just a general release. This is, I think, Walmart exclusive for this one. And it was, I think a few days after episode 3 aired, they had this one come out in the non-glow-in-the-dark one. And now that the season's done, they're releasing some more that are overall things. So I had already been considering doing the Pokemon ones, but I'm still kind of into the Game of Thrones mindset right now, so decided to do this one.
Right. Good. I like it. Well, if you want to check out this Funko and many others, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA to check out their online shop and use Shop 10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA and use Shop 10 to save 10%. Thanks to Funko for their support of the show.
The one I put in the host chat is next week's.
Oh, so good. Shh. Oh, man.
Don't tell them.
I'll be quiet. I'll be gone. Man. It's secrets. I can keep secrets.
Good. All right. So, yeah. Thanks to Funko for supporting our little show here. So, what's coming up in WoW this week?
Or this month in WoW.
Yes.
Since we're now in June. So, this week we have the Dark Moon Fair. That's the 2nd through the 8th. Next week we have our Arena Skirmish event, the 4th through the 10th. And the Thousand Boat Dash, which I missed last year, so I'm hoping to get it this year, is the 6th through the 8th, so check that out.
That's in Thousand Needles, right? Or former Thousand Needles?
Yes. Yes. I heard it's pretty fun. You know, it's worth doing at least once, so I'm going to hopefully head over there. It's, according to Nick, it's one boat per needle.
Apparently.
We also have the PvP Brawl Deepwind Dunk from the 11th to the 17th. We have the World Quest Bonus event also that week, the 11th to the 17th. Hey, Toasty, don't forget to pick up the weekly. We have Burning Crusade Time Walking, which I always love, the 18th to the 24th. And the long-awaited Midsummer Fire Festival, June 21st through July 5th. I'm excited to get the new Hearthstone that comes with that, even though I don't know what it is yet. I'm sure it involves fire and will be awesome. The following week, June 25th through July 1st, we have the Battleground bonus event. And that week, the PvP brawl will be South Shore versus Terran Mill.
Ah, the good old days.
Yes. Speaking of good old days.
Indeed. So... it has been now a few months, 7-8 months now, since we wished Mike Morhaime well on his future endeavors, and Game Lab Barcelona decided that they should honor him with their honor award for this year. So basically said that they felt that Morheim, who had stepped down from the company after 27 years leading it, would join the likes of Ultima creator Richard Garriott, Final Fantasy creator Hironobu Sakaguchi, and a bunch of other really well-known names in gaming to receive honor awards from this conference. So the founder and director of Game Lab said, "Mike Morheim is undoubtedly one of the most influential figures in the history of video games. Under his leadership, Blizzard Entertainment to transform the way we create and enjoy games, crafting experiences in interactive universes that will live forever." And I definitely say that I agree with that statement. Mike was undoubtedly one of the biggest and most influential figures to what made Blizzard a game company that is going to go down in history. I just wish that I could be there to see Mike get honored, because yeah, he's just a great guy. Amazing.
Very, very much deserving of this, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, and Wowhead, who's reported this here, reprinted Mike's letter to the community when he departed the company. And I must say, reading it is still a little, still chokes me up a little bit.
Yeah,
definitely. Because still miss the guy, so. But it is what it is. Sometimes you gotta move on and let other people take lead, and the company is definitely going in interesting places, so. But yeah, if you are going to be at Game Lab Barcelona, definitely be sure to watch that ceremony, and I'm sure Mike will have some very interesting things to say about his time in video games, so.
Do we know if it's going to get streamed somewhere or be on YouTube or something like that?
I don't see any mention of that, but I'm sure if there's no official stream, there'll be something recorded from the audience, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, probably.
In this day and age, you'll not likely see much that's not recorded from somewhere.
This is true.
So, speaking of upcoming events.
Yes, Calm Before the Storm. This happens the Thursday before BlizzCon.
Correct.
This year will be my first year going, so I am super excited about it. This year, it's different in that it is powered by Wowhead, which we talked about before. But an update on the Kickstarter for it. At the time of this recording, it is at 317 backers. That's awesome. That's a lot of people. And the Kickstarter so far has raised over 42,000. The original goal was 19,000. So the crew over at Wowhead and, you know, Seraphis and Zia and stuff, they've been scrambling every few days to come up with new stretch goals and great, awesome things for this wonderful community event. So they've added things such as more art gallery access, their really cool Dwarf on the Rocket logo. They added a pin to it. There's more prize wheel action going on. They have expanded the art gallery. And this Wowhead article is not quite up to date, but as of this morning, they've announced that we got the next stretch goal, which gives everyone in attendance who is part of the Kickstarter a really cool Coming for the Storm pint glass. So it's going great, and I know everyone involved has been just so blown away by the outpouring of support from the community and everyone's excitement for it, and I think this event is going to be epic and amazing and fantastic, and I can't wait to go. like the amount of swag. Like even though it has been backed, a lot of people are still donating to the Kickstarter because the amount of just swag and goodies you get from it is just so awesome and so fun. And I highly suggest people check it out.
Absolutely. And as a note, last year's Kickstarter only raised $22,000. This is already nearly double that. So,
and there's still, as of the time of this recording, still 11 days left.
That's pretty great.
So, yep, we have not heard yet what the next stretch goal will be. There may or may not be one. We'll have to see. But I know I've heard from Seraphis a little bit that he's just blown away by how well this has been going. So it's a good problem to have. And it's just such an awesome community event that so many community people work to put together. So it's awesome to see this kind of support. So if you're going to BlizzCon, I hope to see you. And Toasty, of course, he'll be there. Come see us at Con Before the Storm. And have a good time. And if you're an artist, they're still looking for artists. So you can find a link for that on this Wowhead article to submit an application for it. And yeah.
That's awesome. I still haven't decided if I'm going to support, but we'll see.
Fair enough. And yes, Nick points out these pint glasses are awesome, but you do have to be there to receive it, as well as the awesome Wowhead Rocket plushie. You also have to be there for that, unfortunately, because shipping is a lot for that many people.
I've just sent a DM in Discord to somebody to clarify the deciding factor for me on that, so we'll see.
Okay.
But yes, if you are wanting to support Con Before the Storm, definitely get in now. You have 11 days left, so not even 2 weeks. By our episode 647, it'll be too late. So get in now if you can. All right. Time to talk a little bit more about cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
Indeed. So, Blizzard recently sent out an email letting people know that they have a bunch of new stuff for summer in the gear store. And there's some pretty cool stuff there. So, if you are a pin collector, this is one that in past, when it wasn't for sale, this pin has been very sought after on Blizzard collectible sites. They have now released a Blizzard Pride pin for $15. And if you buy one through July 31st, proceeds will go to the Trevor Project. This is a pin that has been very, very sought after. They've been really hard to get in the past. But now they're actually offering one up for this month for those who want to support a really great project, a really great cause. So, for those who don't know, the Trevor Project is the world's largest suicide prevention and crisis intervention organization for LGBTQ young people. So definitely want to make sure that you support that if you can. And, of course, if that's something you want. In addition to that, they do have stuff for pretty much all of their franchises. Did you see the new towels they have, Valley?
Yes. The towels are blank.
These are towels. And I have the old Alliance towel, the blue and gold one. These ones, honestly, I kind of like the look of these more. So basically, like, what it is they have the Horde and Lies logos in a thematic specific brick or stone pattern. And I really like the look of this. It's not like they put the Horde and Lies logos on a generic pattern. Like, they are very thematically themed to those factions. Like the Alliance one is very much kind of the rocks almost look like brick in the pattern, whereas the Horde one really kind of looks very haphazardly put together, much like you'd expect a lot of stuff in Horde territories to look like. What do you think of the style of these?
I like them a lot. They're definitely the style is just it's good. It's a good. They look good. I don't have any good words.
Yeah,
they do look really impressive though, and it's definitely worth considering because they're just the whole black and gray just makes them look really classy, I want to say.
Yeah. So for the other WoW stuff they have here, they have a track jacket, a fleece crew neck, as well as a varsity shirt. And then for other franchises, they've got some Overwatch shirts and jackets. They've got a pair of Diablo shorts, Diablo plaid shirt, a varsity shirt for Diablo, a sweater. And then just, I think, a regular shirt, as well as another hat. It's one of the black-on-black hats. They had those for Warcraft a year or two ago. For StarCraft, they have also some basketball shorts. They have a sweater. They have some tank tops. And I think either a blanket or some pajamas or something. I'm not quite sure. Let's see here. New Rivals. Let's see. Where is that piece? It is not here. It may already be sold out. That'd be crazy. StarCraft. Okay, I don't even know if that's actually in the picture. Oh, that's the t-shirts in the picture. So
it's a towel.
Okay.
That StarCraft one is a towel.
Okay, yeah. So it's got little smaller logos of each of the factions patterned across it. So that looks pretty cool. Yeah. And then Hearthstone, there's a puzzle, there's basketball shorts, there's a track jacket, there's a journal, a hat, I think a tank top. I can't quite tell what the small thing there is.
Looks like a wallet.
Is it a wallet? Yeah, okay. It's a Hearthstone logo wallet, but it's like not a wallet I would that I would never personally use, but it's like a, I guess the best way to call it, a bar wallet. You just carry like credit cards and a bit of cash kind of in your ID kind of stuff, not like a full-fledged wallet. And then for heroes, they have a tank top, a shirt, basketball shorts, and a couple of jackets. Or sorry, a jacket and a sweater, I think, a hoodie. All the franchises got some new stuff. Definitely check the gear store out for that. And again, if you're a pin collector, definitely look at that Trevor Project pin for supporting those who could use some help.
Yep, it's a great cause. Really is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Alright, so we've now talked about Mike Morheim, Calm Before the Storm, and Gear Store. Is there anything else we have to talk about before we get into the meat of the show?
Nope, I think that's pretty much it.
Are you sure?
Yes. Except, well, yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about that then.
Well,
let's talk about the Lynch and a Blizzard.
I don't know if that was part of the meat of the show or not.
I would consider around here to be the meat of the show, but all right.
Fair enough. So, as you can probably imagine, with everything that's been going on over Activision Blizzard and the stress that happens when there's layoffs, when things aren't going well, and when the community feedback isn't good and that kind of thing, there can be some morale problems. That happens with every company. That's just, unfortunately, happens. There are some sources that are saying some high-profile Blizzard staff are getting ready to leave because of these morale problems. One of them is Kim Fan, who is the global product director of Blizzard Esports. They've been with the company for 13 years. That's a long time. And it was recently announced a week ago that Nate Nanzer, the Overwatch League's commissioner, is getting ready to leave to go work for Epic Games. And there's just other reports and news and internal people saying that the latest round of departures is being linked to low morale, especially around the esports division, because there's been a lot of changes, and people are saying that they're basically really tired of working for Pete Blastelica. I probably completely butchered that.
We're rocking the names this week. We're rocking those names.
I know, right? Well, hey, I was kind of right. He is the president and CEO of the esports division for Activision Blizzard. And there are some internal sources saying that the focus has become commercializing the esports titles instead of making good programs for the community. And many people internally are blaming that on Pete, basically. And it's crushing the morale of specifically the Call of Duty and Overwatch teams.
Which is not a good thing, because you're talking each company's premier esports title.
Right.
And it's not surprising that this person that is being referred to here is perhaps not well suited to this. Their history in televised sports is that they used to work at Fox. And
right.
While
esports is different than team sports.
Yeah, people just need to understand that sports and esports are very different. Yes, esports has wanted to be on the same playing field, same level as regular sports for a long time. But there is significant differences in how you approach the two, and you can't monetize esports like you do sports.
Yep. As of right now, the only person who has officially given resignation is Kim Fan. Supposedly there's some other internal changes and other people leaving, but no one stated on an official level. So we'll have to see how that all plays out in the weeks to come. It's a little rough, you know. We may not agree with all their choices, but ultimately we still enjoy Blizzard games, and we want to be able to keep enjoying them, and we want to be able to support this company. And it's always hard to hear when things like this are happening, and you can't help but feel for them, because morale problems suck. I don't care if you're working at a gas station or if you're working for a huge company like this. Like, morale problems at work suck. And, that's a rough situation for them.
Yeah, and hopefully the esports division can get its stuff together and put out a product that is both appealing to the larger audience base as well as something that can be people can be proud of saying that they are part of, and not bringing their life stress. So hopefully that can be a thing for the entire esports division of Activision Blizzard. However that has to happen. So.
Right.
You know, one thing that always really throws me, Allie, is when unexpected news outlets cover video games. I see this a lot in Pokemon Go. Like, when I see articles about the latest updates for Pokemon Go on, like, New York Times and stuff like that, it's like, huh? Like, what are you doing covering the latest update to Pokemon Go on your trusted news source for the entire nation? Like, what is going on with this world? So when I see and not for the first time, an interview with Ian Hazzikostas by Forbes, the people behind the Forbes 500 list and richest people in the world lists, it kind of throws me a little bit, because I don't expect it. It just Forbes and gaming do not mesh in my head. Like, they are not the same, unless they're talking about, you know, who's making the most money out of all of the people at Activision Blizzard. But they did interview Ian Hazzikostas this week, and he did provide some information on the coming Rise of Azura, which is in the article being titled as the fix-it patch for World of Warcraft. Now, the number of times that I've heard a patch called a fix-it patch, a patch to fix it all for World of Warcraft, I cannot even count how many times that's been called, a patch has been called that. So they are addressing some of the things that they've had issues with over the past few months with this expansion. It starts out with basically saying that this patch is the fruit of a lot of Blizzard's reflection on feedback that's been given to them by the community since this expansion came out. And we have had a few issues with this expansion since it came out. They do talk about Heart of Azeroth and essences that are coming in this patch, and how you will unlock sockets for your Heart of Azeroth, so you're actually working on your Heart of Azeroth itself instead of gear that connects to that. Now, you will unlock, it says here, you unlock your first major socket for your Heart of Azeroth just by hitting 120 and doing the Nazjatar introduction followed by the Magni quest chain to unlock it. So your first opening here will not even require you to do any leveling of your Heart of Azeroth, even though pretty much do a couple of quests and you've got your Heart of you got some levels on your Heart of Azeroth at this point. Additionally, you'll get more progress on your Heart of Azeroth between neck level 52 and 67. Currently, I think the cap is 50 right now. As well, 55 and 65 are unlocks that you'll get for two minor slots. And the essence system will function much like the glyph system, in that once you learn an essence, you are free to switch them in and out in either a rested area or by using a Tome of Clear Mind. So bring some essences. Or bring some tomes if you want to change out your essence and your Heart of Azeroth settings, say in a raid or while you're out questing. Apparently, according to the article here, Nazjatar will not have any, quote, Jeremy Fiesel mad science WoW secret finding Discord secrets. So, if you're upset about that, perhaps inquire about from Muffinus and see if he's feeling okay. Maybe he should need some time off from creating mind-bending secrets.
That's just Nazjatar, right? I guarantee there's going to be something Mechagon then.
That is very interesting. I did not clue into that. There does not make any mention of Mechagon not having any anything there. They did mention though that I'm sad to say for our good friend Frasley, there is no emissary for Mechagon, so you will not be able to get extra rep and extra stuff by doing Mechagon quests. Sorry, but it does seem like there will likely be one for Nazjatar rep, so that's good. He says there'll be no time gating for Nazjatar, but some reputation requirements, two pieces of the major story for pacing and passage of time. And they did talk about the flying, which is, of course, a big part of this coming patch. The rest bolt resistance reputation will be available on day one. And they made sure to make Pathfinder Part 2 tied to outdoor content. There are no requirements to do any dungeons or raids. Yes, thank goodness. The really amount of time it takes to unlock flying this time will be on par with Legion. So, a month or two is, I think, about the average, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, they did talk about Operation Mechagon dungeon. The bosses in the dungeon are meant to feel more like a small raid encounter, and there are some hidden challenges in the dungeon for the more mythic raiding types who want a bigger challenge, much like Nightbane run from Legion Karazhan. There is an essence you can unlock from the dungeon, and some of those powerful punch cards for the Mechagon Trinket are found in the dungeon. So if you want powerful Mechagon trinket, you're going to that dungeon, guys. Sorry. Me, I guess.
I think it's going to be a really fun dungeon. I really do.
Well, if you can get together nine other people, whatever. I may consider doing it.
No, Mechagon is only five. Oh,
okay, well, get three other people together,
it's
then.
It's a dungeon. It's just a mega dungeon.
Sorry, I assume mega dungeon meant like Karazhan, where you needed 10 people. Sorry.
Well, the Karazhan they're referring to is a Legion version.
Oh, right. That's when they made a five mine and like split it up, right?
Yeah, so when it originally came out, it was Mythic and five-man. And then a little time in, it got split up into the different wings for the Looking for Dungeon tool. I'm guessing that's what's going to happen with Mechagon, too. Yeah.
In the interview, Ian was asked about full class overhauls, and he did very clearly outline that those generally only happen with new expansion updates. They did those a little bit in Legion because it was an expansion that reinvented a lot of specs from the ground up. But in general, outside of the original vanilla experience, reinventing classes and redoing overhauling classes mid expansion is not something they want to do. We do not want to have the mage patch and the paladin patch and the warrior patch like we had back in vanilla. It was not fun. So, they said there definitely are specs on the radar for a rework, but nothing to announce at this point. And I think that's about it from the interview. Anything you caught on there, Allie?
You mentioned the time gating bit, and I went and looked back at that section, and Ian basically talks about how instead of it being a, you're going to have to wait until Tuesday for the next section kind of thing, it's going to be tied to reputation. In order to make it feel a little more natural. And I think that might be a good way to do it. Like, you're still going to get people who are going to burn through content. And if that's what they want to do, fine. Go for it. But that hard end of, okay, well, that's all you have until next week or, you know, 2 weeks from now or whatever. Like, it just feels so abrupt. So I like the fact that it's tied to reputation. And maybe you can feel a little more natural, like he's talking about. I understand that still, in a way, is time gating. Just smoother time gating, if you will. And while it makes sense to have some kind of time gating in MMOs, so you don't get people who burn through content and then complain that there's not enough content, this just feels better. So I'm really happy about that. And in general, I like this interview because it shows, again, that they do actually listen to our feedback. There's a lot of changes coming up that people have been asking for, and they're addressing it. And so I think it really shows that A, they listen to constructive feedback, and B, they do, the time is right, when they can get to it, they do actually try to continue to improve this game. So I just hope that people give 8.2 a chance because I think it's going to be an amazing patch.
It's definitely going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how they release it and how the content is devoured.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Warfronts.
Warfronts. So, really excited. In 8.2, in addition to Nazjatar and Mechagon, you know, their mega dungeon, we also start getting our heroic Warfronts that we've been waiting for. So, heroic mode is basically going to be the same idea, the same gathering of resources and taking bases and that kind of thing, just heroic. So the health and damage of enemies will scale based on how many players you have. One of the big differences, though, so everyone knows, you're only going to be able to queue with a pre-made raid. You can have anywhere between 10 and 20 people, but there is no official looking for raid for this one. So maybe gather some friends. I'm sure the looking for other people tool will be used, and people can use that to form their own groups, but you have to queue up together as a raid already together. So that health and damage of the enemies will scale based on how many players you have after 10. And again, that cap is 20 players. And the idea right now is that for this to go well, people will be around 415 item level. So that might be a little rough when it first comes out, but that's okay, because that's the challenge people have been asking for. Because right now, normal is just a joke. There's no challenge. People don't work together very well. Half the time, people don't even worry about resources anymore. This is going to be getting back to the needing to gather resources, needing to work together. Throughout the war front, there will be enemy commanders who will join in the fight, assaulting your bases and your commander. And again, they're going to be very powerful enemy commanders. So it's actually going to require you guys to go back and have some defense. So again, adding some difficulty. It's going to cost more iron to create demolishers and siege engines. So that really shows us that resources will be more important, which I think is what a lot of people have been asking for. However, the rewards will also be better. So when you complete the Heroic Warfront, you will be getting a 425 item, which is awesome, as well as an achievement for Horde being war as hell. And for Alliance, it's called Tour of War. So that will be tied to the Warfronts as well. And yeah, we'll see where this goes. There's some speculation that they might do PvP down the road, maybe. But I think it's going to probably be dependent on how this goes over with the player base.
It's definitely going to be interesting, I tell you that.
Yeah, and it looks like it's only Stromguard for now, I think. You know, just a Wrathi. I don't see anything yet for... There's nothing yet for Darkshore. It's just Stromguard. But again, I can see them, you know, if this goes well and people are in there and doing it fairly often, like, I can see them making Heroic for Darkshore, maybe?
Yeah, it's definitely, it'll be very interesting. The 8.2.5 will definitely have a Heroic Darkshore if this goes well.
Yeah.
I predict it.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, the normal mode is, you know, it's pretty easy. And I think it's important to have that for people who don't want to take the time, who don't have the time, who don't necessarily want the challenge or have the gear for it. You know, so I think it's good to have a normal, but I think it's also good to add that challenge bit for people who are ready for a challenge. And I like the fact that the resources are actually going to be more important. It's not going to feel like you can just skip the resources and push through. Like, you have to actually gather those resources. You have to actually have some defense. Like, it makes it feel a little more legit RTS, you know, not just I can slash and push through.
Yeah, it definitely be very interesting, I think. Are you gonna choose normal or heroic, do you think?
Oh, heroic for sure. I've done normal a number of times and I'm still doing them, just so I can get the badges, so I can get my awesome looking Mount Saber, wow, get my awesome looking Night Saber. But I'm ready for that challenge, and I'm ready to see this actually go well. I don't think I'll be 415 once 8.2 drops, but I think it'll be good. once I get to 415.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think once 8.2 comes out, I think, you know, they'll, everything's going to increase item level-wise, and there's the benthic armor system, everything being put in. So I don't think it's going to take long to get to 415.
I'm sure. I'm sure. With all the gear catch-ups, it'll be super easy, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, time to talk about our second sponsor of the show. Today's show is also brought to you by the folks over at Audible. You get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. And you can get over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Now, sticking with our theme of this episode, our book pick this week is A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, written by George R. R. Martin. And it's a really good book. I just finished it. It's a lot of fun. I definitely recommend it. So let's take a listen to that.
Half a league farther south, they came upon the dam. It was not large, as such things went, but it looked strong. Two stout wooden barricades had been thrown across the stream from bank to bank, made from the trunks of trees with the bark still on. The space between them was filled with rocks and earth and packed down hard. Behind the dam, the flow was creeping up the banks and spilling off into a ditch that had been cut through Lady Webber's fields. Dunk stood in his stirrups for a better look. The glint of sun off water betrayed a score of lesser channels running off in all directions like a spider's web. "They are stealing our stream." The sight filled him with indignation, especially when it dawned on him that the trees must surely have been taken from Watt's Wood.
"See what you went and did, Lonk," said Bennis. "Couldn't have it that the stream dried up, no. Might be this starts with water, but it'll end with blood. Yours and mine, most like." The brown knight drew his sword.
So that again is... That again is A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, written by George R. R. Martin. It's about Dunk the Tall. And it's a really great book. I really recommend it if you are looking for a book to read and are still feeling in the Game of Thrones mood. And it's narrated by Harry Lloyd. And definitely recommend checking it out. It's really cool. And we want to thank Audible for sponsoring the show. All right, then. So our question last week was, will you be taming Undasta the Gravemaker when 8.2 hits? Why or why not?
Well, sadly, I will not, because I don't have a hunter. Well, I do, but she's level 20-something, maybe? Which is really sad, because I've always really liked the hunter class. I've always liked the idea of your loyal pet fighting alongside you. I haven't taken the time to level one, because I leveled a healer, and now that's kind of all I get to play. So, not yet, but maybe someday. That's my answer. As for other people's answers, Poikle Satin says definitely, because it would make an awesome addition to my stable. Will Seiler, who likes to call Toasty out on being a tank because he's awesome, says, if I can find the right paladin trainer that will teach me the spell, I will. Light, save me. Spectacular Death says, not enough stable slots. And White Polar Bear Mount, aka Capo, says, I want to, but my hunter is 72, so not anytime soon.
Slick Rock says, of course, tame them all. Generator G1 says, yep, she will go well with Thok the Bloodthirsty. Mikey84 says, with a name like that, who wouldn't want to tame Undasta? Going T-Rex hunting, Delosaur hunting? Frizzly says, I definitely want to tame it. So many pets I want to tame. Now, I would love a collected tab for every animal on your account that you've collected. Like a Pokedex, even if you don't get to use it without retaming it again.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. However, they already have a Pokemon-like game. It's called Bet Battles. I don't think they want to do that, honestly.
But it's different because it would be for hunter pets. Gotta tame them all.
Yeah, I don't know that they want two different collections of pets. But maybe I'm wrong.
It could be cool. I like the idea, Frasley. It's good. Then I would really be doomed, because I would really want to level my hunter and tame them all.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, what's next week's question?
Next week's question is, what new Blizzard gear would you like to see in the store? What would you like to see, Medros?
What would I like to see? I just want more pins. I like pins.
I would like to see, and I'm sure it's been on there before, I just didn't have the money at the time, or whatever it may be. I want some good old pajama pants.
They've absolutely had pajama pants.
I
guess I could go for...
I know they have before, I've missed them. So, I would like them again, please. I know I might have to get one of the basketball shorts, just because I like to, you know, after I get done with work, like, I'm done. I don't want to wear regular pants. I want to wear comfy pants or comfy shorts. Or no pants, because pants are overrated. But I would like more pajama pants so I can actually buy them this time, because I missed them before.
That's fair enough.
And then if Toasty were here, Toasty would probably say jerseys.
He would absolutely love to see jerseys again, yes.
But I'm sure he'll answer that next week.
I'm confident we will hear from him next week, yes. All right, time for shoutouts. What's your shoutout?
My shoutout is to Nick. I said this in the beginning, but I will say it now again because I can. Thank you so much, Nick, for filling in last week. You did such a fantastic job, and I really appreciate you. What is your shout-out?
My shout-out is going to be to Allie for coming back, because I would hate to do this show alone this week.
Solo Metro show, go!
Those are no, you don't, know. No one wants that. I assure you, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, no one wants it. Just, yeah, no, that's just...
Oh, come on, if I can do a solo show, you can do a solo show.
I can find you recordings of a solo Medros show. It is not pleasant. It is not a good thing. No. But yes, thank you for returning this week. I very much appreciate that.
Of course. Thank you for not firing me when you heard how awesome Nick is. I mean, we already knew Nick was
awesome. I am not... But... I mean, come on. You have to understand by now that it must take a lot to get fired off this show.
Oh, I understand that for sure.
Like
the fact that I'm still here is testament to that.
You heard some of the shows where my co-hosts, Fan and Toasty, are harassing the hell out of me all night, right? Like...
Oh, yes, I love those shows. They're great.
All right. I'll trust you on that.
Also, not really a shout-out, but get better, Toasty. Feel better, man. Missed you.
And it's 2-2. They have a chance. So just under 10 minutes left in the game. They can still win. Maybe. Hopefully.
I believe in that.
I don't want to see Toasty's reaction if they lose tonight. I really don't. Anyways, let us hear our outro, shall we?
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, call 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. If you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. Join our BattleNet group at bit.ly/BNetATA and our Discord at bit.ly/ATA Discord, which is where we record every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central. You can find us on Twitter at allthingsaz, at Medros, at Fandeth, at ToastyPostyCan, at AliandersK, and at DonForge. And please check out the other shows from DonForge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of a Blues Cup.
Yes. Go Blues.
This podcast brought to you by Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2019. Get more at thedawnforge.com.